In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. At the end of Charles Dickens' novel, A Tale of Two Cities, the barrister Sidney Carton, described by Dickens as an able but idle man, contrives to take the place of Charles Darnay at the guillotine, so that Darnay can make his escape from revolutionary France to England to be reunited with his wife and unborn child. As the tumbrils roll and the Paris mob screams for the heads of the aristocrats, Carton's famous words conclude the novel. "It is a far, far better thing that I do than I have ever done. It is a far, far better rest that I go to than I have ever known." Sidney Carton, profligate and philanderer, is redeemed by his courageous end as he gives his life for another's. He goes to Madame la Guillotine, comforting a terrified servant girl, and with the words of the New Testament on his lips. Sacrifice is always an uncertain business. Had Charles Darnay been apprehended as he fled from Paris, Sidney Carton's sacrifice would have been in vain, a tragic gesture, and perhaps no more. The risk of failure always attends sacrifice. But we judge that the moral case for taking that risk justifies the uncertainty of the outcome. The power of sacrifice lies precisely in its improbable success. Indeed, to speak of success is itself questionable, because sacrifice, by its very nature, involves loss. The moral calculation we make is that the potential gain outweighs the unavoidable loss. Today we have food for thought for two reasons. First, because this theme of sacrifice is inextricably bound up with our remembering, both of the sacrifices of two world wars and also of current and more recent conflicts in the Middle East. Over the last 25 years, members of our armed forces have been deployed in Kuwait, Iraq, and Afghanistan. Some have been killed, others have been injured, some have had their lives changed forever. They have confronted ruthless enemies. Through their actions and their commitment, we're privileged to gain some insight into the meaning of sacrifice. For the greater good, for liberty, freedom, justice, they have been prepared to accept risks for themselves in the face of which most of us can only fall silent. In so doing, they are worthy successors of the men and women of 1914 to 18 and 1939 to 45. Then secondly, we have our New Testament reading from the letter to the Hebrews, with its reference to Christ, the High Priest. Christ, the victim, is also Christ, the priest. The one who is offered on the cross is also the one who pleads his saving offering before the Father. That sacrifice, too, was a risk, for its power, its efficacy, is inseparable from the human situation in which failure was a real possibility. What power would there be in a sacrifice that cost nothing because the one who made the sacrifice always knew that it would succeed? Christ's humanity ensured that he knew the possibility of failure. As the writer to the Hebrews puts it, "We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who in every respect has been tested as we are, yet without sin." Only by experiencing the possibility of failure could Christ become the mediator of that better covenant by which men and women can be reconciled to God. Each of us is called to imitate Christ's self-giving love. Without it, we shall never be whole. For it is through our readiness to sacrifice our lives for others that we become both truly human and touched with the life of God. Amen.